Court ready?
Well, why don't you wait until I recognize you? I wanted to let the other lawyers get settled there. All right, I think we're ready to go. Mr. Thompson, you may proceed.
May it please the court, Joshua Thompson on behalf of plaintiff and appellant E.L. and his mother, LaShika White. E.L. is here today before this court because Vic adopted a policy and administers a policy that prohibits African-American children from attending the same schools as their white, Hispanic, and Asian neighbors. E.L. asked this court to remand and revert the decision below and give him his day in court to prove that this race-based program violates his right to equal protection under the law. This policy, Vic's race-based county-to-city transfer policy, is not required by any settlement. It is not required by any court order. It is not required by any decision of this or any court.
Would you focus on standing and the causation element? Because that's where I have the most trouble, thinking that you may not even have standing. So please connect the harm to you to the other party.
Absolutely, Your
causation
Honor.
Causation terms.
Sure, Judge Benton.
And the relief that you seek in terms of the standing.
Yes, Judge Bean. We have two alternate theories of standing here. One, that the race-based, on its face, Vic's race-based transfer policy prohibits African-American children from attending magnet schools in the city of St. Louis.
But does your client want to go to a magnet school?
Our client wants the option to attend any school now and in the future that will best serve our client's interests. LaShika White.
That wasn't my question. My question is whether the client has sought to or express an intention to go to a magnet school as opposed to the charter school, which I think is your second theory of standing. But
that is our second theory.
The first theory, has the client ever said, we intend to go to a magnet school and we're precluded from eligibility?
Yes, I believe our complaint in paragraph one explicitly declares our belief is that the inability to compete for a slot in a magnet school and the intent to want the same options as white families and Hispanic families have is sufficient, and the allegation is sufficient in the complaint that in the future, every year, a new school year, new decisions must be made by the mother of the child, what education is best for him. The race-based barrier to compete for magnet schools, he has no ability to even apply for those schools, is sufficient under Gratz to support our standing. The allegations in paragraph 1, paragraph 37 of the complaint that explain that the magnet school provisions create a separate and distinct injury are fairly pled in the complaint. I would add, Your Honor, that if it is simply a matter of pleading, if it is simply we need to say that we want the option to have the same options that families of other races have, but that we can amend our pleading.
I think what Vic believes, tell me if they're wrong, is that they don't enforce any rules about the charter schools, and in fact, given their makeup, I'll speak tactfully here, they're not in league with the charter schools at all. They're a completely different kind of entity. Aren't they made up of all the superintendents of schools? And they're not for the charter schools generally. So they're just saying, you know, this is very odd to drag us into this.
Well, that's your second theory then about charter schools?
Yeah.
This question. Well, go ahead.
So now we're out of the realm of whether we had a sufficient pleading in the complaint. To wrap up the magnet school, Judge,
go ahead. Sure, that's okay. Yeah.
I would just say that if it is simply a lack of an allegation in the pleading that we want the same option that all parents of other races have, that we can simply amend the pleading to make that bare allegation. We think the complaint, given the liberal pleading requirements in federal court, fairly states a claim that the magnet school admissions policy are injuring our client today. But if it is a pleading requirement, the decision below to dismiss with prejudice was still wrong because we should have the opportunity to amend.
I thought below you only argued you wanted to go. That's the reason I was going to charter school. I thought below you only argued you wanted to go to charter school.
That's incorrect, Your Honor. We did seek a preliminary injunction on the basis that we wanted EL to attend Gateway, where the only school he had ever known. Mm-hmm. But the complaint fairly alleges the injury traceable to magnet school admissions. And throughout the briefing in the court below, we identified the magnet school injury as a source of a distinct injury that for which we seek relief. So we believe that was not only argued below, it was in our pleading. And if it is simply a pleading requirement, the proper remedy is not dismissal with prejudice, but dismissal with the option to amend the pleading to make that allegation, which we think, of course, is already in the complaint.
Did you seek leave to amend in the district court?
The court dismissed it with prejudice. We did not have the opportunity to seek leave to amend. The court also, as you know, despite finding that we didn't have standing, made the unusual step of finding alternate bases to dismiss our case. So it would have been imprudent, especially when we have a party that sought $25,000 in attorney's fees against us for pursuing this case.
Well, it's pretty difficult to read your pleadings as other than you're trying to seek to get into the Gateway Charter School. That's how you started and so forth. And if so, that remedy can't be achieved.
Your Honor, there's no allegation in our complaint that we sought admission to Gateway Charter School. The only allegation that we seek in our complaint is to be treated equally on the basis of race in the application process, the application to magnet schools and the opportunity to attend charter schools. Second theory of standing, Judge Colleton, is that the charter school admissions process is fairly traceable to Vic's conduct. Missouri statutes 410 or 16410.
Say that again. The what is traceable to Vic's conduct? The charter school?
The inability to attend charter schools on an equal basis as white children.
That would include Gateway, then.
That would include Gateway, of course, Your Honor. That
I think that's what Judge Benton was asking you about.
That is the second theory of standing, Judge Benton.
So go ahead. What's your...
Yeah.
The Missouri Statute 16410, 1 sub 1 and sub 2, clearly state the eligibility criteria for attending charter schools in the city of St. Louis. Criteria number 1 is you live within the city's limits of St. Louis. Criteria number 2 is that you are eligible to attend a St. Louis school through the race-based urban transfer program. Clearly, if EL were of another race, he would be eligible to attend a St. Louis magnet school through the urban voluntary transfer program. Therefore, he is clearly eligible to attend St. Louis charter schools if he were another race. In fact, charter schools all throughout St. Louis enroll white kids, enroll Hispanic kids, enroll Asian kids that are from the county of St. Louis, but refuse to enroll African-American children simply because of their race. That is the only reason that EL is prohibited from attending charter schools in the city of St. Louis is because of EL or because of Vic's race-based policy. That policy is the only thing in this litigation that treats individuals differently on the basis of race. It compels charter schools in the city of St. Louis to deny equal treatment to African-American children simply in order to receive federal funding. If Gateway or any charter school in the city of St. Louis were to enroll an African-American child that lives in the county, it would be ineligible for state funding.
But that's because the state has incorporated this racial requirement that Vic has, right?
The state has created eligibility criterion for attending charter schools in the city of St. Louis.
And one criteria is whether you're eligible to transfer to the magnet school. Right.
Eligible to attend St. Louis City Schools. That's correct, Judge Colleton.
Magnet schools being
one of
a subset of those, yeah. And you're saying, well, Vic has created this racial requirement that affects the ability to attend the city schools.
That is correct, Your Honor.
But the state is the one that has incorporated that.
Right.
If the state took that out, then you'd have no complaint with Vic.
If the state amended state law to change the eligibility criteria to attend charter schools, then that injury would no longer be present.
Right.
But that's
as though the state has made this requirement that he can't go because of his race. Why isn't the state the proper defendant here?
Because the state is not making any decision to discriminate here. The state is not making a race-based decision.
They can see that Vic has a race-based requirement that they've incorporated.
Your Honor, even if the state were one of the actors in the chain of causation that leads to EL's discrimination and other African-American children in the county of St. Louis, we can still trace EL's discrimination to Vic's policy, at least in part. I don't agree that the state has undertaken any action here that discriminates on the basis of race, but even if it was part of the chain of causation, we can still seek redress for Vic's decision to discriminate that leads to that. We can cut out one of the links in the chain.
Well, isn't it the predominant, supervening, controlling, those kind of words? When you look at the Missouri statute, it does adopt race when it says urban voluntary transfer program. That's all about race. I mean, you know, that's what that was all about.
That
now
need
for
not
30
be,
or 40 years.
That need not be about race. I believe that Missouri, Kansas City also adopted an urban voluntary.
They have a completely different program.
Exactly.
They do. Trust me. Go ahead.
And I think that's the point. The state was adopting rules that govern throughout the state of Missouri, not just rules that govern in the city of St. Louis. These are charter school rules, eligibility criteria that go throughout the state. It's not race-based urban voluntary transfer programs that the statute says. It's any urban voluntary transfer
program. Well, yeah, but I may have distracted you on Kansas City. It's race-based, too. That's what this is all about.
That may be, Your Honor, but I would like
to... The state of Missouri did the settlement, and the state of Missouri did the funding, and the state of Missouri... Go ahead.
But if...
You know what the previous cases are better than I do. Go ahead.
But if this court were to enjoin Vic's discrimination against African-American children and just said that the urban voluntary transfer program continued, but it may not discriminate against black kids, EL's injury would be redressed. He could attend St. Louis charter schools on the same basis as his white neighbors. That's sufficient for our standing here. We have causation, a remedy that this court will grant us the redress we seek in the complaint.
Are you finished with that?
I'm happy to entertain your question, Judge Beam.
If the St. Louis schools now have achieved unitary status, then a lot of this argument goes away, right?
If St. Louis doesn't have the, well, if Vic lacks the compelling interest to discriminate on the basis of race, then it cannot discriminate on the basis of race. I would agree with that. But that doesn't mean that it can continue to discriminate on the basis of race indefinitely until there's a finding of unitary status.
Well, if there has been a finding of unitary status, that's the basis of my question. You're arguing that unitary status has not been reached, but there's certainly language in the settlement agreements and so forth that would indicate that that should be considered.
Your Honor, I think that's fair. I think that I agree that the 1990 settlement dissolving all injunctions, dissolving the court's jurisdiction, certainly can be read in a way that unitary status has been achieved. I don't think that's necessary to maintain our cause of action today, but if it is present, then of course Vic's action is unconstitutional. I'd like to reserve the balance of my time. Thank you.
Very well, you may. Mr. Bremer, we'll hear from you.
May it please the court, Mark Bremer for Vic. I'd like to begin by making one, I think, important point that goes both to standing and to the merits, and it is that this is not Vic's program. It is this court's program that is at issue in this case. The race-based, back then it was called majority-to-minority interdistrict transfer program at issue, originated from and was mandated by this court, and as a remedy, a constitutionally required remedy for 100-plus years of de jure school segregation in the city of St. Louis and a subsequent failure to dismantle the vestiges after Brown.
So Vic's hands are tied by the Eighth Circuit. You'd like to allow a black kid to go to school in the city, but the Eighth Circuit won't allow it. Is that what I'm hearing? You want us to give you the green light to cease discriminating?
It is this court who came up with the whole idea of there being the race-based transfer program, specifically from the county to the city. There's also city to the county.
Primarily Judge Haney.
It was in Liddell 1, and I don't recall who the panel was when that was first suggested, but I do know.
Well, is that what you're saying, that Vic doesn't want to discriminate on the basis of race and that you'd like to be freed from that, what you view as an Eighth Circuit requirement?
No.
And that's your lead argument, is that it's the Eighth Circuit's problem.
It's not a problem. It's a proper remedial requirement that still exists.
Right, so Vic does want to discriminate on race. It's not
Vic,
that you're bound by the Eighth Circuit and you wish you weren't.
Vic only wants to comply with what it has been ordered to do, basically through the settlement agreement. And that program was mandated by this court en banc in Adams. And it is the very same program. And it has been carried through. And part of the mandate of the Eighth Circuit in Adams was that the adjudicated violators, the city district, and the state of Missouri, quote, shall seek the cooperation of the county districts in developing and implementing the race-based program. That is a quote from Adams. And then Judge Meredith dutifully carried out this court's en banc mandate and ordered paragraph 12A and paragraph 12C in his directive to the parties at that time, to the adjudicated violators, to seek a voluntary agreement with the county districts to engage in the transfer program. It had to be a voluntary agreement because they were not adjudicated violators. This court mandated that there be an agreement and told the city district to go out and get it, and they did. That's what's at issue here.
But subsequent to Judge Meredith, if a court with jurisdiction has declared the St. Louis schools have reached a unitary status, then all of this falls away, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I believe that's the case.
And so the argument is that that hasn't been done in spite of lots of language that seems to indicate it, just haven't used the two words.
Correct. The notion of unitary status is nowhere to be found in
this
court's orders, Judge Limbaugh's order, or in the settlement agreement.
What if this panel were to decide that, based upon what we read and see, that St. Louis Schools has reached unitary status and dismissed this case? And
in answer to your question, that would be the appropriate remedy for Mr. Thompson and his client. They should sue in the Liddell case. This is not the Liddell case. Sue all of the parties in that case and seek a declaration of unitary status. And it doesn't even have to be unitary status of the entire program and of the entire district.
But the Liddell,
it can just be this transfer program, because you can get incremental unitary status based on Freeman v. Pitts.
But the Liddell case itself has language that would lead one to believe that it had reached unitary status, in my view. But
well, I do know this. It hadn't existed in Liddell 7. I'm not sure which case you're referring to, Your Honor. I'd be happy to address it if you could be more specific.
Well,
now, I understood the briefs to say that originally Vic was required to have this transfer program that was based on race, but that in later years it was optional.
There was an option to extend the time period for the acceptance of new students, and they did that. There was an initial 10-year program, and then it could be extended for the acceptance of new students. And the reason that was necessary was so that the phase out of this program, which is underway, and it will soon be phased out entirely, would be very gradual. Unless you accept new students for an extended period of time, then due to attrition rates, the population falls off too quickly, which is prejudicial to the county districts and to the city district, where the county districts would suddenly lose too many students when they've got schools and teachers to take care of them, and then the city district would have too rapid an influx of students. That's why it was extended to accept additional new students.
Whose decision was that?
By the all of the participating school districts in the Vic program, in the
Vic
entity.
So that was not a court-ordered extension.
It was an approved, it was court-approved that the right to extend be in the settlement agreement. Judge Limbaugh approved that. And also what was
right,
approved.
What I'm getting at is whether there's a compelling interest to extend. It was not ordered by the court as necessary to remedy the discrimination, as I understand it. It was left to the discretion of this Vic entity.
Correct. But there was a phase-out addendum to the settlement agreement to the main agreement that was approved by Judge Limbaugh Sr. that called for a gradual phase out of the transfer program. That was anticipated, he knew that, and he approved that.
And you say this is not because of the need to remedy the discrimination, but the need to make sure that the counties don't have to lay off staff and so forth?
It was a condition of the county districts in agreeing to help remedy the violation by the violators in the city. And it was a condition of their willingness to agree to the transfer program that it be allowed to phase out starting in 1999. And that is what is occurring. And that is perfectly constitutional under Hills versus Gautreaux, that their willingness to help remedy the violation of the city is subject to their own consensual agreement and the conditions that they might impose, and that's what happened in 99.
Look, I'm going to slip back to Liddell just to,
okay.
And I quote, the business of running the schools and the educational process has now returned to the professional administrators, teachers, and staff, and with that, the court dismissed the case with prejudice as to all parties, all claims, and dissolved all prior injunctions. That's pretty close to a declaration of
unitary status. Now, I know what you're referring to. Yeah. It is not sufficient, though. And we've cited the cases for there to be a declaration of unitary status.
You got to use the words unitary status.
And it must be clear that all the vestiges of the prior violation have been remedied, and that must be clear. Quite frankly, one of the hallmarks of a dual system and one that has not been remedied is when all black schools remain in the district, and quite frankly, they still do remain. So I don't know that there has been the elimination of all vestiges. Okay. Nonetheless, the county districts who were responsible with the city district in setting up VIC wanted it to phase out. They thought that was important for various reasons to completely return local control, Your Honor,
yeah.
Which was referenced in the judgment by Judge Limbaugh. But that does not eliminate the compelling state interest, which still exists, as to why the transfer program was set up in the first instance by this court. VIC is a mere instrumentality of requirements that were clearly imposed by the Eighth Circuit and by the federal court from Judge Meredith Vaughn, and is merely carrying those out in a phase-out. And it is a phase-out. And if there were a declaration of unitary status, say an incremental partial declaration of unitary status just with respect to this particular program, that's conceivable. If all of those parties are in the case, in the Liddell case, that can happen, then what would happen is the court would properly order a phase out of the program because you don't want to harm the vested interests of all the affected constituencies. But that's already occurring. So even if there were a declaration of unitary status, I know plaintiff eschews seeking that, saying we're not seeking that. That is her only proper remedy, assuming she had standing. I agree with you, she does not have standing. And the only result of that would be a partial declaration of unitary status, and a phase-out would then be ordered. That's already occurring.
Why doesn't she have standing? I mean, if you were ordered to stop discriminating, then the boy would be eligible to go to the charter school, as I understand it.
Not under the statute as I read it.
Why not? Because it says if he's eligible to transfer, then he's eligible to go to the charter school.
Under an urban voluntary transfer program, to tell VIC not to publish its policies would not eliminate the existence of an urban voluntary transfer program. It's in the 99 settlement agreement, which incorporates this court's prior judicial directives.
What do you
it would
mean
still
to order
exist.
VIC to stop publishing its policies? Is that what you understand the relief to be sought?
I don't know what else it could be, because VIC.
Well, I thought what he wanted was an order that you may not limit the ability of black kids to transfer.
Yeah, but I don't know what that means, other than we stop saying we have this policy.
Well, you stop implementing the policy, I guess.
We don't implement it as to charter schools. We do
not. No, as to the magnets. You implement it, as I understand it. And if he were eligible to transfer to the magnet, then he'd be eligible to go to the charter. Isn't that how it works under the statute?
Well, the statute also says there shall be no discrimination with regard to admission in charter schools.
Where is that in the statute? The non-discrimination.
Yeah, but with all respect, I don't think you're addressing my question, which is that if you were to stop limiting the ability of the black kids to go to the magnet schools, then that would remove the barrier to his attending the charter school. Would it not? Your answer is, well, it's already prohibited in the statute. But
if that's what the statute means and if that's what the statute says, but we don't have that before us and we don't have the proper parties to adjudicate that issue, what does the charter...
I thought the charter school told him the reason you can't come here is that you're not eligible to transfer to the magnet school.
Come at me again one more time.
Didn't the charter school tell the boy the reason you cannot come here is that you're not eligible to transfer to the magnet school under this program?
It's not clear what was asked of the charter school or what the charter school said to plaintiff, but let's assume that that is what happened. That is the charter school saying that and deciding not to say, well, but there's another provision which says you can't be discriminated against based on race.
Is this subsection 3 of the statute?
Yeah, 160, okay. RSMO 16.
Talk about something else. I found it. Go ahead.
160.4103.
Yeah, I found it. Go ahead. And no Missouri court has reconciled the two provisions you're talking about.
That is correct. That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay. And you know of no litigation pending to reconcile this?
I'm not aware of such litigation. But Vic isn't the decision maker as to whether the student would be admitted to the charter school. There is no standing because Vic is the mere instrumentality of a program that exists independently of Vic. It is the one set up in the court-approved 99 settlement agreement, which in turn is merely the implementation of what this court and the district court have ordered over the years.
Now, the Missouri Supreme Court has said that this urban voluntary school transfer program is set up by statute, state statute. That's a quote from them. Section 162.1060 created the, are they speaking imprecisely or something? And then they quote, voluntary, and then they talk about the purpose. So does that statute set it up?
It has another source, would be the statute itself, and it says that went into effect.
That's the Turner case I'm talking about. I bet you're familiar with it. Go ahead.
That would go into effect when and if there was a settlement agreement approved by the federal court that finally resolved the matter. So they go hand in glove.
Was that passed with the settlement in the late 90s, this statute?
Senate Bill 781 was enacted in 1998,
right,
and made it conditional upon there being this final
correct
judgment that would be executed and non-appealable by February 15 of 99. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bremer. Mr. Thompson, we'll hear from you in rebuttal.
Thank you, Judge Colleton. I'd like to address a few questions of the court.
Why don't you start with why you didn't sue the state or the charter school or someone like that?
As Your Honor pointed out, if Vic's policy is enjoined, if it is prohibited from discriminating against black kids, EL will have the opportunity to attend any charter school in the city of St. Louis, including Gateway. That's the relief we sought.
Why is it your best case Section 3? A charter school should not limit admission based on race.
Your Honor,
that's one you could explain.
Your Honor, the eligibility criteria under Missouri statutes are 1 and 2. 1 and 2 establish the pool of students that are eligible to attend Missouri charter schools.
I think that's an eligibility requirement, but go ahead. I'm just being argumentative.
With respect, Your Honor, I think the eligibility criteria are, 1, you live in the city of St. Louis, or you live in the city where charter schools are authorized, or 2, you're eligible to attend through a voluntary urban transfer program. Once that pool of students that are eligible to be admitted to a charter school is created, then a school may not discriminate on the basis of race. This is a catch-all provision that is found in every
charter. But no Missouri court has said this. No Missouri court has tried to reconcile it.
Your Honor, I don't believe they need to be reconciled. I believe that it's a straightforward application. But
why would you give up that argument for your client? It seems like your client would have an interest in arguing that charter school is bound by number 3 not to discriminate on the basis of race.
Your Honor, because that wouldn't redress our full injury. Our full injury is also the inability to attend magnet schools on the basis of race. We are seeking to enjoin the party that's discriminating on the basis of race from discriminating on the basis of race.
So the boy doesn't want to go to the Gateway.
The boy would like to, each year brings a new decision by his mother. After he was prohibited from attending Gateway, he wanted to attend Gateway when he filed this lawsuit. After he was prohibited from attending Gateway and required to attend Parkville Elementary, then his mother needed to make a new decision. What's the best school for this child? And each year she needs to make that decision. She's a mother seeking to make the decision in the best interest of her child, and she wants the opportunity to make that decision regardless of her son's race. It should not be only white kids get these choices, only Hispanic kids get these choices. Every child and every mother wants the same choices as everyone else. I would like to also point out Judge Colleton's question concerning the extension here, that Vic unilaterally extended this, and that is the action that requires a compelling interest on the basis of race. They made the decision to extend this race-based discriminatory program, and they did not have a compelling interest to do so. It is not narrowly tailored to one. And for that reason.
Well, now, can you explain that some more? As I understood Mr. Bremer, he's saying it was really contemplated all along that there would be this gradual phase out.
Your Honor, I would point the court to Appellant's Appendix, page 122, paragraph 8, that is the Liddell settlement. It says that this race-based transfer program exists for 10 years, and then Vic has the opportunity to extend it. Vic exercised its option, as Vic explained throughout the briefing in this case. It exercised that option under the agreement, but it didn't have to. It was not mandated by any court. It's a decision that it unilaterally undertook that discriminates against kids on the basis of race. And that decision needs to be supported by a compelling interest and narrowly tailored.
All right, you've answered the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Your
Appreciate
Honor.
The arguments of both counsel. The case is submitted, and the court will file an opinion in due course.